Hebrews, selected verses from the 11th chapter, talking about faith and one of the great scripture stories of faith. Hear the word of God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. From one person, Abraham, and this one who was as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of the land they'd left behind, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Faith is one of those Bible words that has many layers of meaning. And I had this wonderful image prepared of a three-layer cake. Three layers of meaning of the word faith compared to a cake. And then I was at Karen Hunter's wedding yesterday, which was quite a joyful affair. Karen is one of our adult mission trippers, one of our deacons, and it's fair to say that she's in early midlife and she's finally found her partner for life, and she was just wonderfully joyful the whole day. So much so, I guess, that even the cake was filled with joy because it was a 7-layer cake. So I've been up all night coming up with 4 more points to share with you. But they weren't any good. So we're going back to the original 3. We're going to look at 3 different layers of meaning of the word faith. And the first is what we might say the Christian faith. We talk about the Christian faith. We might be thinking about, like, what's in the Apostles' Creed, a set of beliefs. When we say we're Christians, what do we believe? We believe in these things, that Jesus is the Son of God, that the Bible is the Word of God. These are the things that we believe. That's the Christian faith, what we believe. Sort of a set of, what's our theology? What are our statements of what it is that we think about who God is and what God does and what God does not do? We use the word faith that way. And it's really important to know what your faith is in that sense, to know what you believe. What are the things you believe about God? When you hear that diagnosis of cancer or when the car accident happens, it's important to know, do you think that God planned that? Or do you think that's the last thing on earth God would plan for one of his children? What you believe matters, and it makes a difference in your life. It's like if you're out on the water in a sailboat and there's a storm coming, you're way better off putting the anchor down before the storm comes. It'll hold tight then. So it's important to think about what it is we believe, to really think it through. What are these beliefs that comprise the Christian faith that we're going to hang our hats on? And there are a number of them. You know, there's the Christian faith, and there's the Presbyterian take on it, and the Catholic take, and the Baptist faith, and your take, and my take, which is clearly a perfect one. Of course, it's not. I fully expect that when the time comes, when all things are revealed, I'll understand in a way far beyond what I can articulate now about who God is. And I'm sure I'll have some things completely wrong and the emphases wrong. And that's good to know, because we're not saved by our faith. We're not saved by what we believe. There's not some test at the end where you have to have the top 5 concepts right, and if you don't, you're not getting in. It's not like that. It's important to know what we believe so that we have that anchor to hold fast to. But don't worry, there's not a test at the end. We're not judged by our theology. Frederick Buechner, one of my mentors, a Presbyterian writer, and says, the older I get, and he's in his 70s now, upper 70s, the older I get, the fewer things I'm sure of. But the more sure I am of those few things I know I believe. He went on to say that Jesus is full of grace and truth, that those who do not love remain in death. A few things, but strongly and firmly held. So that's one layer of the word faith, what it is that we believe. But there's another layer, maybe a deeper layer of faith. You know, this week our son was home from school, and I wanted to have, before he headed back to college, I wanted, for his last year, I might add, so if you see Kathy and I doing the happy dance, you'll understand what that's all about. Anyway, I wanted to have one, you know, male bonding experience before we go. So, we drove into the city, and we rented kayaks. They actually will rent you kayaks and let you go wherever you want to go, including paddling down the north branch of the Chicago River into the loop, into what they call the Skyscraper Canyon. It's pretty cool to do. So you're there on the water, you know, trying to avoid tour boats and water taxis and such, and you're looking up at all the skyscrapers. What a great way to see the city from the waterline. And what I learned is, you know, we went right by the Trump Tower. Now, I'm not a big fan of things that have that particular name on them. So I've seen this building before. I thought, fine, a lot of glass, you know, tall, of course. But to see it from the water, when we got out to Navy Pier, turned around and headed back and saw the view that you're seeing there, I suddenly realized that's where this building was built to be seen from. This is the perspective the architect had. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty from all different angles, but from right there, from the water, or from one of the bridges across the water, you know, this building is built right where the river bends. It's made to be seen just as you're seeing it. And it was stunning. It was stunningly beautiful against with the water and the sky and the other skyscrapers sort of around it. Incredibly beautiful. Now, faith, another layer of faith is as, what is your perspective on life? How do you see the world? What's the framework by which you approach your life? Is the world only really material things? Things you can touch, things you can prove, things you can be sure of? Or are there other realities that are not so easily grasped that we in the church might call spiritual matters? Is the world a random, chaotic place? Or is there a loving presence to be sensed in the midst of our lives? Is the world a terrible place where awful things happen? Or is there, as one theologian put it, even in the midst of the terrible, is there a bend toward justice, an arc toward what is right? Are we just here along for the ride? Or are there some things that we're called to do with our lives to make a difference? Faith is a way of seeing the world, and it gives us an approach to life. John Polkinghorne is a British physicist who, midway through his career, decided he could not separate what he was learning in the laboratory and his personal faith. And so he went to seminary and became an Anglican priest, and he spent the rest of his career trying to articulate the right interaction between science and faith. And you know, there are those who say they don't mix at all. That either you're willing to look at the world through a scientific lens, you see material things for what they are, you take knowledge, scientific knowledge, for what it is, which effectively cancels out anything religious, any spiritual truth. Or, sadly, there are some on the religious side who do the opposite, who say, only what we read in the Bible is true, and everything we can learn, everything scientists are telling us is false, and just the effort of some evil power to deceive us. And Polkinghorne, this physicist who is also a priest, says, no, the two belong together. What we learn in the laboratory, what the physicists are learning, can tell us more about this God we believe in. And also, some of the insights from faith from the centuries actually inform what the physicists are doing. There's a conversation to be had there, Polkinghorne says. But it all depends, what's your faith perspective? What's the way you see the world? How do you approach that? Do we see ourselves, as we said with the children a little bit ago, do we see ourselves as in this random life, or do we see ourselves as on a journey, as moving from God through life toward God? The novelist Walker Percy said the most important distinction between people is this: those who see their lives as a quest, those who see their lives as a journey of faith, and those who do not. What's your faith? How do you see the world? Another layer, and in our tradition, the Reformation tradition, the deepest layer. Last night at the wedding, Kathy, of course, is in Las Vegas with her father, and so I didn't like have my dance partner at the reception. So I'm watching folks, and I see one of the family members. There's a family there, with a family of the bride, and father and mother and three kids, the youngest of whom is this adorable little guy in knickers, maybe a year and a half old, who must be held by his mother. But her daughters wanted her to dance with her on the dance floor so badly. So finally I went over, I thought, well, maybe this is something that I can do. So I went over and said, would you like me to hold your son for a little while so you can go? And she said, well, I don't know. I don't know if he'll go or not. So I sort of played a little peekaboo with him, you know, soften him up a little bit. Then she said, well, let's try. So, you know, so he came to me a little reluctantly. Okay, but then when mom went out on the dance floor, fussing commenced. Fussing. A little, well, not quite tears, but, you know the noises. You've heard them before. So I'm holding this young man. What do? Well, I'm well trained. I know what to do. Distraction. Turn away. Start to bounce. Walk outside. And of course, you also know what I'm saying to him. It's okay. It's all right. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. Those soothing tones. Keep saying those things over and over. And while I was saying them, I remembered reading a man named Peter Berger, a theologian back in the 70s, who talked about a similar experience about a mother rocking her child, soothing the child who's upset, who's in tears, and saying the same things I was saying. It's all right. Everything's going to be okay. It's all right. And then Peter Berger asked, but, he said, is the mother lying to her child? When she says that everything's going to be all right, is she lying to her child? Faith at its deepest level is trust. It's trust. Trust that the God who made us in the beginning is also our destination. Trust that there is a loving presence along the way, even though not everything that happens in this world is loving. Trust in a God who is indeed our beginning and our end. John Polkinghorne, the physicist and priest, said that when he was a physicist, he was always running tests, scientific tests, he said, but at some point in your life, he says, you have to turn from testing to trusting. If you're always testing your relationships, seeing if your friend is being fair to you, seeing if your spouse is being dealing right with you, if you're always testing, that destroys the relationship. At some point, he said, you have to move from testing to trusting. Julian of Norwich, one of the Christian mystics in medieval times, said this. She said, "All will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well." Now, if you think about that in the short term, that's wishful thinking. In the short term, you don't have to look very far to know that that's not so. But if you have the perspective of faith, if you believe that the world does bend toward justice, and if you trust that our end is the same as our beginning, the God who made us and loved us from the start, then in the end, in the long view, all manner of things will be well. The Bible says the very last book says, as Hebrews does, that the end is a city. We're not living in some heavenly place. We're living in a city, in a community with one another. And in the end, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And indeed, all manner of things will be well. Last night, I was bouncing that young man who was still fussing, still looking for his mom. We found a tree. The tree is what did it, maybe more than my soothing voice, more than my gentle bouncing. He found a tree. I thought of that verse from Revelation again. The trees, the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, and the leaves of that tree was the healing of that little boy for that moment. As he suddenly calmed down and realized, at least for now, he was in a safe and good place. At its deepest, our faith is our trust. Our trust that even if we fall, the God who loves us will catch us. And that is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen.